Welcome to the Side Hustle Project, a podcast where we explore the nitty-gritty details behind what it takes to start and grow a profitable side hustle. I'm your host, Ryan Robinson, and in this podcast, I'm bringing you interviews with entrepreneurs, best-selling authors, CEOs, investors, and people just like you who are building and profiting from interesting side hustles. In today's episode, we're talking to Josh Strebel, the web developer turned WordPress hosting pioneer and CEO of Pagely, the first and still one of the most popular managed WordPress hosting platforms. In college, Josh studied communications and visual design. Then, on the day after he graduated in 2003, he and his girlfriend got married. That next week, they decided to grow into business together, doing website design and development in Scottsdale, Arizona. Over the years, they built their web development business together, and he dabbled in several side projects ranging from a podcast advertising network to an automated website builder, a social media network, and eventually Pagely, which has now become a $10 million company. In this episode, Josh and I talk about how he and his wife came up with the idea for Pagely and launched a minimum viable product of their managed hosting service that go on to eventually host web properties for companies like Disney, Crate & Barrel, Visa, Comcast, and Time Magazine. We dig into the ways they decided who their target customers should be, how they position their value propositions, and the channels they've used to acquire so many high-value brands over the years. We cover what it's been like starting and growing a company with his wife, including managing the ups, downs, trials, and tribulations of their relationship, both professionally and at home along the way. As always, you can find everything we mentioned in today's episode in the show notes at ryrob.com/podcast. That's spelled ryrob.com/podcast. Let's get into today's interview with Josh Strebel. Josh, welcome to the show.
Hey, how you doing, Ryan?
Hey, I'm great, and it's awesome to chat with you here today. Now, I'm sorry if this sort of dates you a little bit, but you've been in the world of web design and development for approaching what looks like two decades now. Does that sound about right?
Oh, almost 15 years. Yeah, right. the gray in my beard is betraying my age.
Now, I want to rewind the clock a little bit before we dig into all the projects that you've done. Now, in college, you studied communications, right?
Yeah, visual comm. It was essentially, hybrid graphic design with kind of a communication slant.
Cool. Outwardly, that, you know, seems like kind of a pretty big departure from the track you were on getting into web design development. So, who was Josh back in those days?
It depends who you ask. Josh in college was a very skinny, very lanky, beer-drinking ruffian, but he was also a nice guy, a good friend, and had a sweetheart at the time that I later married. So, you know, it was we'll call it a dull but slowly polishing stone. How's that?
That's beautiful. I like it. So you've dabbled over the years in everything from building a podcast advertising network to automated website builders, social media network, and of course, Pagely, the first and one of the most popular managed WordPress hosting platforms. What was the very first business or even side project that you worked on?
Yeah, so let me give you a quick origin story here. 6 years in college, like you alluded to, and I graduated college on Friday. That Saturday, the next day, I married my wife. And for all intents and purposes, wow, that Monday, we started a company. It was actually a couple weeks after that. But, you know, the story goes better if it's on a Monday, right? So we got the idea to just do web design and development. You know, I had an unpaid internship right out of college. The market in 2003, it was kind of hard to find work. And so, you know, I wasn't even making any money as an intern. So I'm like, hey, I see what this guy's charging, and I could probably do this myself. So we filed the paperwork, became an S-Corp, and set up a little design agency in Scottsdale, Arizona. So, you know, light development, light SEO, using Dreamweaver to build websites, little Photoshop, slice and dice. Do you remember when websites were built with tables and you had to slice those GIFs just perfectly?
Very vaguely. I remember using Dreamweaver though. Yeah. Gosh. Mm-hmm. Takes me way back.
Yeah, that's where we started. And so we did that for about 4 or 5 years. And in that time, you mentioned the Fruitcast. A colleague of mine, we had lunch and we kind of were brainstorming, what would be an interesting thing to do? And he and I kind of came up with this idea to insert audio advertisements into podcasts and called it Fruitcast. And I honestly, I can't take any real credit for it. I didn't do any of the development or the design. I just basically asked for a producer credit since I brainstormed it over lunch with him. But he ran with that and unfortunately didn't go anywhere.
Man, but that was kind of podcast wave 1.0 compared to where we are today.
Yeah, yeah. And the killer was the infrastructure costs, because he would ingest raw podcasts, assemble the ads on the fly, and then stream those out to the people who were requesting them. So the bandwidth costs were just astronomical, and couldn't figure out how to monetize it effectively on the kind of subscription or the ad side.
So I got to ask, you mentioned, you know, starting the web design agency with your wife originally. What was that like, building business with your wife? You guys did it for several years. Was this kind of just like a natural extension of your relationship together? Or was this sort of a thing where you had to like lay out ground rules and clear roles? Was it?
Well, we're still partners. So 15 years married, 15 years in business. She owns exactly half the company. So there's no majority on either side. She owns exactly half the company. And we always kid that we've been threatening to write a book called From the Bedroom to the Boardroom. And you know, the subtitle is, you know, The Trials and Tribulations of Running a Business with Your Spouse. To answer your question more directly, no, it was kind of organic. We just kind of figured out how to work together, and it's still hard and we still have our challenges. And it's still, the biggest challenge is probably like, when do you turn it off, right? Because you have various roles within your house. And now that we have kids, we have various roles as parents. But then in the context of the business, those roles might be different, or the leadership structure might be slightly different. You know, who kind of takes a step back and who takes a step forward, and depending on which context you're in. So, I mean, that's always hard, right? Kind of finding that balance.
Yeah, that seems like something where you just, you know, maybe you're never in perfect balance, but you just need to course correct for the direction that feels most necessary in the moment.
Yeah, exactly. You know, it's before 5 o'clock, if we have an argument we'll call it a disagreement and something business related, but then 2 hours later over dinner, you know, you're still getting the side eye from your spouse. Well, is that now a relationship, personal conversation, or we still have to discuss the business disagreement we had, you know?
Yeah. You guys must be really good communicators.
I can't say that I am. She is. I'm getting better.
Working on it. All right.
Yeah. Yeah.
Well, jumping ahead a bit now, let's talk about Pagely. Can you give us some background around, you know, what the WordPress hosting world looked like back when you started working on the idea around 2008? Does that sound right?
Yeah. Well, actually 2006. So here's how it went. As I said, we were a little agency. We had 4 or 5 employees doing light design work and such. And, you know, our 4th, 5th year in business, some of those early customers were coming back around and they were saying, hey, do you remember that website you built for me for, you know, $1,000 or something? I need another one. And the rate's still $1,000, right? They're like, oh, no, you know, we're a bigger company now. We're doing better work. It's going to be $5,000 or $10,000. And they're like, well, I need it to be at this price. And my response was, well, I'm sorry, we just can't help you. Well, over the course of a day, I had 2 or 3, 4 of those phone calls. And Sally, she overheard me. She's like, dude, you said no to like 10, 15 grand a day. What are you doing? It's like, well, we can't make money. You know, we can't be profitable at those small amounts anymore. And, you know, she, matter of factly, was like, well, why can't you? Why can't we build something that, you know, is more efficient from the labor and production side, that we can charge a lower price? And that was the impetus of what we built in 2006, which had a funny name. It was called Flare 9. Mm-hmm. And it was essentially a WordPress-based site builder. And so you go to the site, you see some themes, you choose one, you put in your credit card, and out the other side came a hosted WordPress site with the theme you chose, and you were on your way to designing and building your own site. Well, we took that to market. We got about 40 or 50 customers. But it really didn't go anywhere. You know, this was pre-Twitter. We didn't know how to market it. This is pre-Facebook. We didn't know what we were doing or really what we had. So we kind of just dusted it off. And that used like WordPress version 1.2 or something. And this is right after WordPress even became a thing after it forked from B2. So the answer is there wasn't one. There wasn't a WordPress hosting market in 2006. But fast forward a couple of years, you know, another economic upheaval with the housing market crashing and, you know, everybody kind of wondering what to do next. In early 2009, you know, we had wound down the design agency. It was just me doing kind of some consulting work on my own. And I kind of looked into our portfolio of things and said, how can we get out of this consulting rut? How can we get out of this kind of design and development thing? And we saw Flare 9 and I was like, oh, and there'd be potential there because by this time, ecosystem had started to grow. It had started to mature. It was getting a little bit of buzz. And it was like, oh, wow, I just so happen to have this WordPress-based builder that we could probably clean up and add some features to and improve and rebrand. So that's what exactly what I did in 2009. So in the September 30th, 2009, we relaunched that as Pagely, the first managed WordPress hosting offering. And within, you know, 30 or 45 days, we had 100 or so, 150 customers, and away we went.
Wow. That's actually really quick traction for something. I mean, for anything, really, launching a brand new product, essentially, as far as how people are perceiving it outwardly. Do you remember if you can kind of like take a look back how you guys brought on that first, say, 100-ish customers? Was that mostly like through your own personal network or something else?
Yeah. It was. As I said, in 2006, this was pre-Twitter and we didn't know how to market anything. By 2009, you know, early days of Twitter, it was still cool then. It wasn't the cesspool of politics and trolling that it is today. But in 2009, you could actually have relationships and meet interesting people that you would never have had exposure to prior. So my strategy was your classic, as I was working, I was sharing screenshots. Say, hey guys, what do you think about this? Hey guys, what do you think about this? All this pre-marketing, you know, this pre-engagement, this pre-selling. So when I had this kind of engaged following of people going, wow, this is interesting. I can't wait to try it out. This is interesting. Da, 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 da. So when the time came, hey, it's live. You can come try it out now. Voila. That kind of pent-up demand all delivered and got us that first initial bump of customers.
I love that. How long did it take, for the first real competitor to see that you guys were onto something and enter this market too?
Well, it was about a year to 18 months, I think. And what's sad is I actually remember exactly when it happened. I was down in South by Southwest in 2010, March of 2010. And I was giving away some t-shirts. I was at a little party or something. And I'm like, hey, check out our new service. Hey, this is this. And I remember one guy very distinctly asking some very pointed questions. Oh, interesting. Oh, and how do you do this? And how do you do that? And I didn't think anything of it. Sure enough, like 9 months later, he's the co-founder of our first competitor. I'm like, son of a gun, I should have gave him some false info or something. And, you know, but a blessing and a curse, right? A blessing that, oh, wow, this is a good idea. People are copying it. Curse is, oh, crap. Now we got some competition on our tails. And, you know, fast forward a few years, there's a dozen, 15, 20 competitors of various sizes out there. And some of them have deep, deep venture capital funding. And so today, it's a $2 to $3 billion channel. There is a lot of money being made in WordPress hosting, gobs and gobs of money. And we're still the independent, revenue-funded, you know, mom and pop, if you want to call us, kind of premium provider in the space.
Yeah. You guys never took on outside capital at all?
Not a dime. It's you know, philosophically, it's the antithesis of running a good company, in my opinion. It changes all your focus away from product and customers to growth, 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 return, return, growth, 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 return.
I couldn't agree more. You know, today you guys, you host web properties for companies like Disney. Just looking at your logo wall on the homepage, it's like, wow. Crate and Barrel, Visa, Comcast, Time, the list is pretty freaking long. Do you remember the very first like sort of landmark customer that you guys signed up?
maybe not the very first, but some of the early ones was we hosted an entire religion once.
Whoa.
I don't know how to say it, but it's like Baha'i, B-A-apostrophe-H.
Oh, yeah. I think Baha'i or something?
Yes. Yeah. We hosted their like global, this is us as a people's type site. That was one of the early ones. We hosted like the not the New England, but one of the big journals of medicine sites. You know, those are some of the earliest kind of, wow, I can't believe they're hosting with us clients. But, you know, it was a very intentional strategy to get to where we are now. Because, as I said, the waters were getting saturated. There was a lot of competitors. They were all kind of same $20, $50, $100 a month customer. And they all had deep pockets. And so, in an existential question, I had to ask, where do we fit? Where do we survive? How do we grow as a company if we're just getting creamed on all sides by these huge marketing budgets and these deep affiliate payouts and all these things? You know, GoDaddy's in the market. I can't compete with a Super Bowl commercial. I just can't. You know, so it was like, where do we go to prosper as an independent company? And the answer turned out to be, well, you got to go premium. You got to low volume, high touch, focus on the process, focus on the people, focus on the quality, and raise your prices to be able to afford to deliver that. And so it didn't happen overnight, but over the last about 5 years ago is when we kind of really made that switch. So now in the ecosystem of WordPress hosting, it's like a no-brainer. Somebody says, I have a site that looks like this, where should I host it? And they say, oh, that big site, you take that to Pagely. Oh, that little site, oh, you can take it to any one of these guys. So it's kind of, we've built the brand in the ecosystem that a certain caliber of client or a certain caliber of site just comes to Pagely, because that's how we've built our company to serve that type of customer.
Have you guys ever gone down the route of building out a sales team and like sort of proactively going after big clients, or has it always been sort of a, you know, a marketing driven acquisition approach?
To this day, it's still 99% inbound. We have a sales team, but they process mostly inbound leads. We don't do much outbound. We don't do much event marketing. We do some content marketing. Just, you know, that just keeps the eyeballs coming to the website. But no, a formal kind of like dial for dollar sales team, nope, never had it.
What is your number one acquisition channel these days? Is it kind of like still word of mouth, referrals? Like people just know you, so you get a lot of referrals?
Exactly what you said. Yeah. It's still word of mouth, the personal recommendations, organic search, things like that. We don't do any pay-per-click advertising. And if we do, it's, you know, it's got to be less than $500 a month. It's not much. But, you know, like I said, it comes down to, there might be an agency who's building a lot of WordPress sites for people, and they work with a few hosts. Mm-hmm. And the majority of their sites, they might go to a host over here. But every once in a while, they get that customer with that level of demand and need, and they say, oh, this is a perfect Pagely client. And voila, they end up with us.
I like it. That's cool positioning. As a ballpark figure, about how much would you say you guys are generating in revenue on a, you know, yearly basis, let's say?
We're just under 10 million.
Okay. Yeah, that's sizable. You've taken a while to get up there, I would imagine.
Yeah. Well, you know, from zero to that in 15 years, if you want to call it the whole journey. But, you know, I think we really hit our stride about 4 or 5 years ago. I mean, I think we're maybe $1.5 million a year in like 2013, 2014. So once we really solidified our positioning and where we fit in the market, it resonated. You know, right? We weren't trying to compete with all the fast followers out there. We staked our own position. We found our own blue ocean and said, this is what we do, and we do it the best, and this is how we're uniquely positioned. And then boom, 100% growth, 100% growth, 100% growth, 80% growth, 70% growth. You know what I mean? Just bam, 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 bam.
Jeez. Yeah, it's great when you really hit your stride on something like that.
Yeah, I wish it was a formula that I could easily duplicate, but you know, it's trial and error, and oh my God, that worked.
Well, I'm sure there are some other people teaching online courses out there about how to do this, if you won't.
Yeah, you know, I'm humble enough to understand that I don't think I have much to teach other than, hey, these are some mistakes I made. This is what I learned from it. But I don't think I have a whole ton of value to try to preach to somebody else how they should do it.
Everyone's got very unique situations of their own.
Mm-hmm.
So, hey, I was doing some research before our interview here, and it looks like you guys are either launching or about to launch a new product that's called NorthStack. Can you give us a little preview about what that is?
Yeah, NorthStack is kind of an answer to the need in the market that we see. So if Pagely is low volume, high touch, right? It's very custom, kind of spoke, high touch, high engagement type hosting. NorthStack is elastically auto-scaling, serverless, self-managed managed hosting, or, you know, self-directed managed hosting. So, you know, we asked ourselves, where does Pagely need to be in 5 years to be relevant? You know, what? Where's technology going? Where is the market going? Is it just WordPress, or should we look at Node? Should we look at Laravel? Should we kind of expand our focus a little bit? So, you know, we were having these leadership conversations on, like, where do we need to be in 5 years to maintain our market position as well as increase it? And the answer was, we got to look at serverless. We got to look at containerization. We have to look at adjusting our billing model, where maybe we can decouple support costs from infrastructure costs. And we have to look at kind of like, what is the greater content management or application market looking like? And it's looking more like Node and more like Laravel and maybe a little less like WordPress. So this NorthStack began as like our labs division. Like, let's design the platform that we're going to want 5 years from now. And as we started going down that path and kind of looking at things and writing code and running tests and saying, oh, wow, I think we're onto something. I think this can be a standalone product. And we can still, you know, use it as a test bed to incorporate the best parts of it back into Pagely. But it also has a viable business model on its own. So we're about ready to launch. It'll be a couple more weeks. We're just getting the rest of the documentation in line and things like that. But we're really excited about it because whereas Pagely serves the kind of very hands-on, enterprise-y, you know, in some sense boring, you know, right? It's very static and legal driven and risk averse and things like that customer. We see NorthStack as kind of like a tool for the developer to easily answer the question, where are we going to host this? Oh, a couple lines, boom, you just throw it up on NorthStack. What if it doesn't work? It's okay because we only get charged for what we use, right? So It's a metered billing model. And the engagement's really low. Like, you can cancel anytime. You can run multiple sites. You can run multiple types of sites. So we really see it as this universal, kind of easy to leverage, manage platform for hosting applications. And we're really excited. In the first year, it's going to be a little technical heavy. You know, it's going to be command line driven. It's kind of aimed at that light junior engineer developer type. But then, you know, once we iron out a lot of the kinks and workflows, we hope it'll be more of a prosumer product by year two, year three.
Yeah, I was going to say, it seems like something that right now feels like will be a really good fit for a lot of your existing customers to, you know, spin up quick tests or you know, utilize it for other purposes that they already have.
Absolutely right. Because we have to, as Pagely, be very consistent and very conservative in our infrastructure because our customers demand it, right? You know, if we're dilly-dallying around with funny containerization things on Disney's platform and we make a mistake, they're going to be very unhappy. So,
yeah.
But they may want to have some more flexibility. We want to give them more flexibility. And so NorthStack is kind of this great way for our existing customers to try out ideas, throw things at the wall, see what happens. And much of the architecture is a similar environment that Pagely currently has. So, you know that problem some developers run into where, you know, well, it worked fine on my machine. Why doesn't it work on your machine or something? we've made them similar enough that existing Pagely customers will be able to try things out on NorthStack, prove that it works, and then migrate it up to Pagely.
I love it. It's a smart approach. All right. Well, Josh, I had a couple of my frequently asked questions I wanted to run by you. I designed them to be short on my end, but your responses do not need to be equally so.
Okay.
What is your number one piece of advice to our audience listening here today that wants to build an online business of their own? What should their number one focus be?
Oh, geez. You might have to edit out a pregnant pause here while I think about
it. Well, I didn't say it would be an easy question.
The number one piece of advice I would have for somebody looking to start an online business is don't quit. That sounds so simple, but in my experience, I've seen so many people try so many different things and they only give it like 3 months and then quit and then 3 months, then quit and 3 months, and then quit. Yes, some projects you can quickly decide if they're going to work or not, and you move on. However, what you typically see, like if you scroll through indiehackers.com sometimes, or even on Hacker News, you know, and you see the same person like, oh, here's my new thing, here's my new thing. You start asking yourself, why didn't you give one of those enough chance to work? You know, because it's not an overnight success thing. Things need time to develop. Or I wrote a blog post once about letting the sauce thicken. You know, if you're making spaghetti sauce, and you got to let it kind of simmer down a little bit. And what's the word they call it when like you boil down wine?
Ooh, gosh, I'm drawing a blank.
It's right there. It's right there, but I can't think. Anyways, the moral of the story is sometimes it takes a little longer than you think it will, and then it clicks. Right. But if you give up too soon, what happens? At the end of 4 or 5 years, you have a dozen half finished, half baked ideas. Why not find the one with the most promise and give it the time and the worth and the focus and really give it a chance to succeed? Because like I said, we did Pagely. We're in our 9th year of Pagely. And for the first 5, it wasn't fun. It was hard. It was exciting, but it was hard. These last few years, oh my gosh, this is awesome. It's working. We're making money. We're growing as a company. We're providing real value back to the marketplace. This is kick ass. But had I quit in the second year or even the third year, I would have never got to experience the 9th and 10th year, which are awesome.
Yeah. And it takes more time than you think it will. Maybe 2 or 3 times.
Yeah, easy. Oh, and the word is reduce. That's what I was looking for.
Yes, there we go. All right, Josh. Well, hey, this is my last question for you. What would you say has been the best investment you've ever personally made in the context of growing your business? And this can be in the form of time, money, tools, product, services, or otherwise.
The best investment. Okay, this is fun. In 2006, when we were that little agency and we built the prototype, there was a guy working for me named Joshua Eichhorn. And he was like a second year, third year out of college kid. He was about my age. And he's the one that wrote the prototype. And he was really, really smart and really, really handy guy. And, you know, his time, you know, employees typically run their course. And so his course ran and he went off to Silicon Valley and worked for Oracle and worked for StumbleUpon. He was the director of engineering at StumbleUpon for several years. Hmm. Well, when I came back to Pagely, or came back to that platform that he and I built, mostly him, and called it Pagely and took it to market, every few months I was like kind of, hey, remember that thing we built? Look, it's like making money now. Look, it's making a little bit more money. And like every year I was giving him an update. Mm-hmm. And finally, I hit him at the right time that I'm like, dude, look, we're making like $1 million now on this thing. What do you think? You ready to get out of the valley and come back? And he was open to the idea. So I reinvested in him and was like, dude, I can barely afford this, but look, here's the salary I can give you. Here's this that I can give you, and I can help you move back and done all these things. So he's been with us 6-7 years now, and literally the best investment I ever made. He's our technical leader. He is the pragmatic guy on our team that, you know, sometimes some engineers get like, oh, we got to use Go, or we got to use this latest, greatest, cool thing. And it wastes so much time. And he's so practical. He's like, yeah, but we need to get it out next week. So let's just use the tools we have, build it, get it out, see if it works, and come back around to it to improve it later. And so Pagely would not be here today by any stretch of the imagination had I not reinvested in that former employee and brought him back into the company. He's now our CTO. And like I said, he's 99% the reason why we exist today.
That is an incredible story. You've got a little salesperson inside of you there.
Yeah, something like that. On the broader context, people in general. As a company, you are hire, you can attract to your boat and get to sail with you, and who you can kind of engage to follow the mission goals and to execute the vision. And so we know we can pay people less, but we don't. We know we can treat employees like shit, but we don't. Because without them, we have nothing. Because they're setting the tone with the customers. They're delivering our product to the customers. So, you know, you got to walk the walk. You just can't talk it from a culture and marketing PR to, version. You actually have to walk it and invest in these people, not just from a salary perspective, but from like a holistic authority, accountability, responsibility, self-autonomy. Like trust, you really have to invest in your people as a whole to run a good company. So,
yeah, I applaud you for that. I mean, that's something that is often lacking here. And, you know, I'm in San Francisco. My first, call it tech marketing job that I had in the city was, you know, one of those situations where the founder definitely squeezed as much as they possibly could out of every employee for every penny.
Yeah. It's, well, you can see the signs, right? Because in our industry, hosting, at scale, like a GoDaddy or a Bluehost, you know, those are huge companies serving millions of customers, but they invest in their support desk employees nothing. You know, they're tasked with closing tickets and upselling people. Well, that's a $25,000 a year position, and they have some stupid leaderboard on the wall of the call center where you get a free vacation if you get so many upsells of that month. That's not how you run support for an organization that deals with the enterprise. You know, so our support team, they're engineers, they're high paid, they're highly qualified, they get great benefits, they're trusted with the life of our company. And so it's a much different equation from how you interact with your employees, right?
Yeah, 100%. All right. Well, Josh, I want to thank you for joining us. Can you tell everyone listening today where they can go to learn more about you, Pagely, and everything that you're up to?
Yeah. So our company is Pagely.com. I blog every once in a while. You know, you go in spurts at saint-rebel.com. If you guys get the joke there, my last name looks like Saint Rebel. And you can find me at Strebel on Twitter, where of late, I've been making a personal comedic choice to make fun of inspirational posts.
I fully support that choice. Awesome. Well, hey, thank you again for joining us. It was a pleasure.
Hey, Ryan, thank you so much. And congratulations on your growth. You know, maybe someday somebody should interview you and ask you how you got there.
Hey, I'll keep crossing my fingers over here. I'll watch my inbox.
All right, bud. Thank you.
If you enjoyed this episode of the Side Hustle Project, I would love your support. Head on over to the Apple Podcasts app and give us a rating. And as always, you can catch every episode of the Side Hustle Project on Apple Podcasts, Stitcher, and wherever you get your podcasts. Thanks for tuning in.